Almighty, if you have a spoken request tonight, just let it be known. Any spoken request? Amen. How about unspoken request? By the raising of your hand. All right. God knows and sees every request of prayer. Join with me and we'll just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your abounding love. Thank you for this day, this opportunity, and the desire that you've given us to gather together. Lord, I pray, God, that we'll be in one mind and one accord, receptive to your spirit and to the move of your blessings tonight. Father, we do remember those who are suffering tonight. Many are sick and afflicted, and we pray, God, that with your healing hand, that you would reach out to each and every one in need tonight. God, especially those, God, who have called in or text us. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just intercede on their behalf. Pray, God, that you would just take charge of this service tonight. Every word spoken, every song sung, let it be for your honor and for your glory. Father, we'll look to you, giving you all the praise. We ask these blessings in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. If you love the Lord, give him praise, and you may be seated tonight. Amen. Before we get into our special singing, I just want to share a testimony with you, if I can, for just a little bit. Sister Kathy Bennett, you know we stood... I had a couple stand in Sunday night. I believe Brother Jim and Sister Karen stood in on their behalf. And then we took the prayer cloth over to Sister Kathy after church Sunday night. And she shared with us some of the things that she's going through. If y'all know Sister Kathy, it's one battle after another with the cancer. They'll treat one section and it spreads somewhere else. And she's just having a horrible time. But on top of all of that, she was having difficulty with her medicine, not being able to get it because of the insurance. Something wasn't covered, and it just seemed like it was just dragging out like crazy. And we prayed, and I told her that night, I forgot exactly what I told her. I told her that don't worry about the insurance. Just put your faith in the Lord, and we're going to pray for your healing and your anointing. Well, she called me. Was it Monday morning? Yeah, Monday morning. She kind of went Monday morning, just early as she could be, just as giddy as she could. And said, Brother Eddie, he said, I went to the doctor today. They've started the shots back. They're going to get my medicine started, hopefully, but I think she said by the first of maybe next week. And everything's working out. And she was just so happy. And she said, tell the church that she really appreciated the prayers. And by the grace of God, she's going to try to be here Sunday night with us to worship with us. So I think the Lord deserves a hand, a clap of praise for that. Amen. Praise God. God is so great. All right. Sister Susan, would you come and sing for us tonight since you wouldn't lead singing? We'll ask you to do a special for us.
I want to thank the Lord for all of his blessings on us. I don't testify enough for everything he's done for us, but just every day that he protects us and lets us work and keeps us from traffic, among other things. But I just thank him for everything that he's worked out for us and for touching Brandon, and just glad to be in the house of the Lord. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. Servant be. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For you, I'll stand for thee, dear Jesus, though death may come my way. I'll spread the gospel to the fallen here. But if it be thy will, Lord,
Capacity you choose to use me. I just want to be humble, man, and do the work that you would have me to do. We're going to receive our Wednesday evening offering, and this Wednesday evening offering goes into the Good Samaritan Fund, which absolutely helps folks sometimes when they're in need. And Brother Sean, would you come receive the offering as we ask the Lord to bless it tonight, if you would? There is, yeah, the little bags are there for us. Let's just ask the Lord to bless it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, God, to give unto you. Father, I pray tonight, God, that that money that is received, I pray that you would bless it and multiply it, God, for the needs that is intended to help. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless each and every one tonight, God, all the giver and the non-giver as well, God, and let this come from our heart, Lord, and we just pray, God, that you'd use it greatly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Jesus. Sister Brenda, would you come arrange a number for us tonight? And then Sister Linda, would you have one after Sister Brenda tonight? Amen. Let's just continue to worship.
Praise the Lord. They say there'll be no tears in heaven, but I can understand, for the things that make us cry.
Try an old song. I know that's new for some of you, but I'm going to try an old song. I've never sang it before, so are you looking for the Lord to come? Are you looking for Him to come? What's going to happen whenever He steps out on those clouds? We're going to be stepping on some clouds going to meet Him, aren't we? Y'all worship the Lord as I try to sing the song, Stepping on the Clouds. One of these days, I'm going to leave. One of these days, I'm going home. I'm going to take my final journey. Heaven's sweet dawn. Why stepping on the clouds? We'll see Jesus rise to meet Him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, He will greet us. Oh, the joy together we'll share. Oh, I'm gonna leave this world behind me, going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, higher, higher. Stepping on the clouds. Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise to meet Him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, He will greet us. Oh, the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me, going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, higher, higher. Stepping on the clouds. Past the moon, the stars are planning. I'm gonna walk the Milky Wide Way when no Satan has a signal. I'm gonna rest neath heaven to stay. For stepping on the clouds, I'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, I'll see Jesus. Oh, the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me, going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, higher, higher. Stepping on the clouds. Oh, stepping on the clouds, I'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, I will greet us. Oh, the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me, going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, higher, higher. Stepping on the clouds.
I truly believe it'll be sooner than later. And the things that are transpiring in the world today lets us know that the soon coming of the Lord is at hand. Most important thing we can do is be ready to meet him when he comes or when he calls. Even if we're not here when the resurrection takes or when the rapture takes place, we still need to be ready because we don't have the promise of tomorrow. Even the very breath that we have is on loan for us. So it pays to be ready. Well, it's good to have Sister Evelyn home. We let her go visiting sometimes, but she's back at home now, so we're glad to have her back in Villa Rica. She is, that's right. Well, you're certainly one of our home folks, and it's good to have her. And she's very fond of a particular song, so she calls it her song, so I think it's Joy. Is that what it is, Joy? I've never played it on the bass, so this is going to be quite an experience. F. I mean, he's got joy. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so if you ever feel weak, just begin to praise the Lord with joy in your heart, and you'll feel that power to give you strength. One day I was walking in a world of sin, no rest for my weary soul. Then I met a man who said he'd be my friend, all my burdens. He did wrong, God took those worldly desires. He gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Well, it's joy in my heart, joy in my mind. It's joy since that happy day. I've got joy in my hands, joy in my feet. It's joy in every way. God took those worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. I got my eyes on Jesus, got my mind made up. Gonna tell it everywhere I go. Ain't nobody gonna turn me around. You see, Jesus is in control. He took those worldly desires. He gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Sing it with me. Joy in my heart, joy in my mind. It's joy since that happy, happy day. I've got joy in my hands, joy in my feet. Well, it's joy in every way. God took those worldly desires. He gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Wow. Well, it is joy to serve the Lord. Things are not going well in your life if you know Jesus. See, Matt, he didn't say that we would have everything down here that we desired. He said he'd give us the desires of our heart. But how many know that sometimes things happen in our lives, amen, that doesn't really cause joy. But as long as we got Jesus, amen, as long as we got Jesus, I believe that there's nothing out there that we can't overcome with him, with his help, with his strength, and certainly with the power. The Bible says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. So glad that you came out to be with us. If you have your Bibles, we want to go to the book of Acts tonight in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. We want to read an account of Paul and Barnabas, the same Paul, amen, who was converted, the same Paul who was fighting against Christianity. Amen. But how many knows the Lord can change your direction when he gets a hold of you? Regardless of your past, regardless of what you've done, that's the wonderful, amazing grace of Almighty God. So we find that now Paul is preaching, spreading the gospel, and converting souls, amen, to Christianity. In the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse number 1, we'll read down through verse 10 tonight. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part held with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth about, or that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Read that with me if you would. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I humbly pray and ask, God, that you would just anoint this vessel. God, speak to us that you would have us to hear tonight. God, I pray that it would sink deep into our spirit. God, that we would be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. Again, we do remember those who could not be with us, those who are sick, those who are struggling, those who may be shut in, and even in the hospitals. Father, we pray, God, that your healing mercy would reach out to each and every need. And Father, again, we ask that you just have your way, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more hand for Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Isn't it an honor to give the Lord praise? It is. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to put your hands together in the Lord. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, I want to bring a message entitled, Faith in action. Faith in action. I like action. I like, there was something that someone wrote in my annual, and I can't remember who it was. It was one of the seniors of the class ahead of us, and it has stuck in my mind, and it is really a very profound saying. It says, a live wire never gets stepped on. Think about that. A live wire never gets stepped on. And that's what a Christian ought to be. We ought to be a live wire, amen? We're not a punching bag for Satan. We know that he comes against us. We know that he hates us. And we know that he tries to destroy everything that we're trying to do for the work of the Lord. But how many knows that we have the ability through the shield of faith and through the armor that God has provided for us to fight off those fiery darts that Satan comes against us? So tonight we need to, we all know about faith. We all have a measure of faith, the Bible tells us. So what do we do with that faith? Do we use it? Do we exercise it? Do we take advantage of the faith that the Lord has given us? Amen. To speak things into existence. The faith, the Bible says, the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Well, we find here that Paul and Barnabas was doing their very best to share the gospel of Christ. Now, they went into a place in Iconium, and they was preaching the same message that they had preached. How many knows that the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't need to be changed? Doesn't need to be updated. It doesn't need to be modernized. We need to preach what the Word of God was. So they had not changed their message, and they were preaching, and they were finding out that some of the Jews and a great portion of the Gentiles were believing their message, and they were converting to Christianity. And that's one thing for the Gentiles, but that's really a miracle for the Jews, because they had been brought up under the Mosaic law, and they knew nothing about grace, and they knew nothing about Jesus and his resurrection. They didn't know about him being the Son of God. So Paul and Barnabas were sharing that with them, and they were believing and they were accepting it. But as always, when there's a work of the Lord going on, Satan likes to cause discouragement. So a portion of the Jews of that particular town, they begin to stir up wrath and stir up confusion, and they begin to cause the believing Jews and the Gentiles to be confused and also rise up with them against the preaching of Paul and Barnabas. Let me give you a good indicator to let you know that whatever you're doing for the Lord is successful. And I know that if you've been in the work for the Lord a number of years, many, many times we think, well, is it accomplishing anything? Lord, is the word getting by? Is anybody buying what we're selling? Is anybody believing? You know, well, I'll tell you a sure indicator. If Satan's trying to destroy it, if Satan's trying to discourage you and make you quit, you can rest assured that you're doing some good. Because if you wasn't doing any good, Satan wouldn't care. But if you're doing something successful, the Lord, Satan's going to try to tear it down. He's going to try to knock it down any and every way that he can. So that was the case with Paul and Barnabas. So much so that they begin to devise a plan that they were going to actually stone these two preachers, amen, that were preaching the gospel of the Lord. So Paul and Barnabas excused themselves, or they left that part of the country and they went to another place. And that's what I want to get into tonight, because no matter how good the message is, no matter how truthful the message is, if it's falling on unbelieving ears who will not convert their heart and their spirit, it's very, very hard, amen, to convert those people to Christianity. They need to have an open mind. They need to have an open heart to be able to perceive what God has done in his immaculate plan to give us salvation, to let the Spirit of the Lord, the Comforter, that Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless, I'll send the Comforter back in my name, can live within us. Aren't we thankful, amen, that the Spirit of the Lord is able to dwell within us? So they go now to a place called Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth about around. And I love what I ask you to repeat. And there they preached the gospel. Now, I believe with all of my heart it was the same identical gospel that they preached in Iconium. But here, the gospel was able to, the seeds were able to be spread because the people's hearts and their minds were receptive to what the preachers were preaching unto them, and they began to believe, so much so that God began to do miracles because they had a believing heart. Church, we've been in church long enough to know that if we believe, the Bible tells us that all things are possible to him that believeth. But we have to act on that. We have to put that faith into action. If we believe that and we keep it concealed in our spirit and we never speak it or we never exercise it, we're not really doing that faith the best of its ability to work. But if we begin to speak things, and I really want us to understand that, because so many times we can think in our mind, well, I'm believing. But when you speak it, you're putting your faith in action. And there's just something happens when you step out on faith, because that's what God likes to work through our faith. Because he plainly tells us, amen, that with faith all things are possible. Even the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. So here we find a man, and I love the way that God works. Paul and Barnabas had no idea who was going to be in the congregation when they went to preach at Lystra and Derbe. They didn't have a pre-planned revival set up. They didn't have the pastor of that community write them and say, hey, I need you to come over here and have a Holy Ghost revival, because we got a man here that's been crippled from his mother's womb and he has never walked, and we want to see a mighty move of God. They didn't have that. They didn't have that advanced knowledge. But how many knows that God works sometimes when we have no idea what he's doing? And he puts people in place. Anyway, glory to God. I just kind of felt the Spirit of the Lord when I said that. Because God puts people in place where he needs them to be. And if people have that believing heart, that mind, that open mind to believe that God can, in fact, do what he says he'll do, we'll see miracles, we'll see healings, we'll see anointings, we'll see conversions, we'll see people born again, we'll see backslidden souls, amen, consecrated and dedicated back to the Lord. How many believes that's still possible, even in the day and hour that we're living in? And I know what Satan says. Satan says, well, the crowd is small and it's hard to get people out. That's not going to discourage us, okay? If there's two or three, the Bible said he would be in their midst. How many knows that the Spirit of the Lord is here tonight? Thank God for that. So Paul and Barnabas are preaching. And this person here who the Bible describes simply as an impotent man being crippled from his mother's womb, and goes on to say, who never had walked. Now that's a pretty in-depth description of the condition of the man. It was not one who just happened to sprain his ankle or throw his knee out. This was a man who had never walked. Didn't know what it was to be able to walk. So I'm thinking that some family member, some friend, or somebody was instrumental in bringing him, amen, to the preaching of Paul and Barnabas and putting there. So somebody had faith to believe that if they could get this man to the men of God, that God would do, in fact, a miracle for him. So as Paul and Barnabas are preaching, Paul looks at this man. He doesn't call him up for prayer, although we believe in prayer. We believe in anointing of oil. That's what the Bible says. Anoint with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. You'll be recovered. Amen. How many still believes that God can heal the sick? Amen. He said, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith. But according to the Bible here, Paul just looked at him, steadfastly looked at him. He said, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him. And here's the key word to the whole thing, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. He discerned in his spirit that this man who was crippled from his mother's womb, from his very birth until this day, he doesn't say how old he was, but he said he was a man, so I imagine several years. He probably wasn't a teenager, but Paul saw something in his spirit. He discerned that this man had faith to be healed. And I begin to think about that. You know, it's wonderful to pray for folks. It's wonderful to lay hands on folks, and the Bible backs that up. But we need folks who are believing to be healed, are believing to receive what we're praying for them to receive. And don't do like this group of people. They instantly put their faith in Paul and Barnabas. And they actually said, the gods have come down and are among us, perceiving or acknowledging that Paul and Barnabas were gods. And they straighten about on that. No, we're nothing. And how many knows that? We're nothing without the Spirit of God. But with God, all things are possible. But Paul looks at this man. and he sees a spirit, and he sees faith. He feels it. He experiences it. And I don't know if you've ever prayed for anybody and you wondered if you were just praying by yourself for that person. Did they really believe that they were going to receive what they were asking for, or did they really acknowledge what it was? And sometimes, but then there's other times that you're praying for someone and you feel that open spirit that they have, that faith that they are exercising to believe that what you're agreeing in the name of Jesus, that the Lord is going to do that. If, in fact, the prayer, the one who praying the prayer and the one who is receiving or being prayed for the prayer, if they get in one mind and one accord, in one spirit, which is the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of praying for one and the spirit of believing that you're going to receive what you're praying for, how many knows that God will step up and do his part? Amen. He'll heal. He'll anoint. He'll deliver. He'll give you victory. He'll open a door. He'll do whatever we believe him to do if we put that faith into action. Brother, what can we do to put faith in action? Well, the Bible's full of examples of people who put faith into action. How many believes that God divided the Red Sea? How many remembers that he told Moses to stretch the rod out over the sea? Could God do it without Moses stretching the rod out? Well, certainly he could. But he wanted to see faith in action. He wanted to see if Moses would believe what, because God was testing Moses because he needed a leader that was going to be faithful. He needed a leader, or a leader that was going to be obedient unto his word. So Moses, if you'll do what I say or ask you to do, then I'll create a miracle right before your very eyes. Wasn't that a great miracle, a wonderful miracle? He split the Red Sea. The children of the whole children, the multitude of Israel, marched through on muddy ground. No, the Bible said on dry ground. Not only did he split the Red Sea, but he dried up the ground and they walked across, I believe, exactly what the Bible said. And then he closed the waters on the Egyptians as they began to come after them. Faith in action. We find that Noah, and I don't read where Noah was a master shipbuilder. The Bible doesn't bear that out. But God asked him to build a boat, to build an ark. He gave them the specifications, which is good. Told him what to build it out of. Told him how to pitch it. And he didn't give him an army to help him. He said, just your family, just your daughters and son-in-laws and your wife, and I want you to build this boat. Well, it took a long time to build the boat. But you know what? Noah put his faith into action. Don't you imagine that there were many times that the adversary said, Noah, what in the world are you doing? It ain't never rained. And there you are building a boat. And you don't even know how to build a boat. You don't even know if it's going to float. Because I know how Satan operates. Amen. Because everything that you step out on faith, he tries to put it down or try to tear it down. But Noah put that faith into action. As he saw the boards, as he measured them and he nailed them, and the boat, the ark began to be constructed. And God, I know God gave him the wisdom and the knowledge to do that, but he had to act on faith. Don't you believe that God could have spoken an ark into existence? I do. I mean, he spoke the world into existence. He spoke the animals into existence. He spoke the universe. He hung the stars. He hung the moon. He done all that. Sure, he could have spoke that ark into existence, but he said, I need somebody who will act on faith. Noah, go build the ark. And Noah put his faith into action. And folks, how many times do we want God just to speak it into existence? Just do it, God. Don't get me involved. Just do it. But God uses people. God works through individuals. He works through Moses. He worked through Noah. He'll work through you if you put that faith into action. Well, Brother Eddie, what can I do? I can't build a boat. I can't raise a rod out over the Atlantic Ocean and tell it to split. You know what? You can speak the power of God because you've been filled with that power of God. You can say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, sickness. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to be better by faith. you can speak it. As I said, I don't know what compelled me the other. Yes, I do. I know what compelled me, because I wouldn't say anything like that in myself. But the Spirit of God was, we were out there in the yard at Sister Kathy's, and she was so concerned. And I could see it and I could feel it. And she was so concerned. And I would be too if I was having to have some expensive thousands of dollars of medicine and all of a sudden it wasn't covered. I'd be freaking out too. And I just, you know, we hugged and we prayed. Sister Penny and I, we gave her that prayer cloth and she's holding on to it. And I told her, Sister Kathy, it's going to be all right. God's going to work that out. What we want to pray is for you. We want to pray for your nerves to be calmed, and we want to pray for your body, and we want to pray that you'll just have peace when you go to sleep tonight. I don't want you to worry about anything. Now, I didn't know that doctor was going to call and have her to come back and say, we're going to start the shots again. I didn't know. I had no way of knowing that. But something compelled me to do something more than just say, Sister Kathy, we'll be praying. That's the easiest thing in the world we can do, and that means a lot, I know, to the. But can we put that faith into action? Can we go ahead and speak? You know, and the biggest holdback is, well, what if it don't happen? Yeah, but what if it does? Amen. Do you discount God's power? We should never discount God's power. But so many times as a human being, we hold back because we don't want to be wrong. We don't want to say, oh, Lord, have mercy. And I tell you what, don't just say it in yourself. You better be led by the Spirit of God. If God tells you to do it, amen, then you speak it, amen. Just like he called Noah, just like he called Abraham, just like he called Moses, and he called Abraham. Sometimes it may not be to split an ocean. May not be to build an ark. Sometimes it may be as simple as, I don't want you here. I want you to move. I want you to go where I tell you to go. Out of your comfort zone. Away from, it tells him here, away from your kindred and away from your land to a place where I will tell you of. He didn't tell him his destination. He just says, you get up and go, and I'll tell you when you get there. Now, that's faith in action, because then Abraham had to gather all of his family, all of his herd and everything, and leave his house and leave his family, his granddaddy and daddy and all behind, and he didn't know where he was going. But he put his faith into action, and God blessed him and caused his descendants to be as the sands of the sea. Why? Because he was a man of God, and he put that faith into action. He didn't build a boat. He didn't split the Red Sea, but he simply obeyed God. You know the story of Joshua and how Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho. It would have been very easy to say, God, you know, there ain't no way them walls are going to fall. Those walls are thick. If you've ever done any research on the walls of Jericho, they weren't like these little walls you see around here. They were impenetrable. Thick. How many knows that nothing's too big for God? Those walls in your life may look pretty big. They may have been there for a long, long time. But if you'll act on faith and believe God, and if God can tell you, I can tear those walls down, and told Joshua, march around the walls, amen, and on that seventh day, amen, glory to God, the walls fell, and they were able to take Jericho. Why? Because they put their faith in action. This man heard Paul speaking. Something got a hold of his spirit. He believed the word that Paul and Barnabas were preaching. And he believed the miracles that he had heard that Paul and Barnabas were sharing with him. Now, in Iconium, God did miracles as well. But those few that believed were confused or stirred up by the unbelievers. Don't ever let Satan use the unbelievers to take your beliefs away or to take your faith away or to tell you what we don't need in our life is when we're trying to act on faith for somebody to come up and say, well, you know that ain't going to happen. Amen. That's what we have to work at. We have to make sure that we don't let that happen. Somebody said, well, you know God ain't going to do that. God's not going to answer your prayer. And that tears our faith down. But we have to put our faith into action to believe that God said he would do, and he will do what he said he would do. So Joshua walked around Jericho. Moses crossed the Red Sea. Abraham left his country. Noah built an ark. And in all instances, they acted on faith. Paul looked at this man who was crippled. And you know, We think about situations in our life when we're praying for somebody. And we're praying for somebody that the doctors have just said, well, there's no use. There's nothing else we can do. You know, that's hard to hear. And some people have heard that. You know what? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Can we, in fact, muster up enough faith and put it into action to believe that God can do what the doctor said can't be done? If anybody's ever heard of a miracle performed where the doctors had given up and God came on the scene and done it, just raise your hand to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. We've all seen where God can do what people cannot do. If somebody would put faith into action. So Paul looks at him and he's perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now this is all that he did. He said with a loud voice. He didn't go over to him. He didn't call him out. He didn't do anything. He just said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. Don't you just imagine that they were maybe some in the congregation said, he can't walk. You just ask him to stand up and he's never walked. He don't know how to walk. They mean well. You know, those naysayers, they mean well, but they're not speaking by faith. Again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can't see it through natural eyes. We have to see it through eyes of faith in order to call it done. But Paul perceived something in this man. It wasn't any talent. It wasn't any wealth. It wasn't anything except that man believed what Paul was preaching. So much so that at Paul's spoken word, he stands up and leaps. A man who had never walked. Imagine, not only did he not know how to walk, but if you lay in the bed for a solid week and you stand up, you can't hardly walk then. And he had been all of his life. That's how instant God came on the scene. That's how powerful God is. Because when God does something, he does not halfway do it. He does it fully. Amen. If God is done in anything in your life, give him praise tonight. And can we be more ready to put our faith in action? Whatever it is. You know, we are the ones that put different degrees on things and on prayers. You know, just a case in point. We can believe God for a minor headache. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, take this pain away. And God takes the pain away and we praise the Lord. But you know, with that same faith, God can put cancer in remission. But it's our ability to think, well, that's a little different. It is to us, but it's not to God. There's no different degrees of difficulty, is what I'm saying, on God's power. He can do all things. And when we get to a point to believe that, we'll see miracles. We'll see things that God can do, just as he did in the Bible, just as he did in the Old Testament, just as he did in Paul and Barnabas' preaching, and Peter and some of the others, because after that the Holy Ghost came upon them, they were so full of the power of God, they didn't have room to doubt. I want to get the church to that point. Amen. We ain't got room. We ain't got time for the naysayers. We ain't got time for Satan to come in and try to disrupt us. No, Satan, get out behind me. Get away from me. Amen. We're going to do something for the Lord. We're going to put that faith into action. May God bless you. Love you so much for coming out on a Wednesday night. Good again to have our visitors. Let them know how much we love them. Hope they'll come back and be with us. Amen. Ask you to stand tonight, if you would. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We believe that God is just as real on Wednesday night as he is on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And this altar is never closed, by the way. If you have a need tonight, please come forward and we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. We'll put that faith into action. If you need to be saved, if you need to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, if you need a healing in your body, if you just need something done in your life, amen, then we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. All right. not.
I just wanted to ask y'all, I don't know how many of you, I'm a crafter. I like to DIY stuff. And I watch YouTube. There's a lady that's been on there for many, many years. Thank you. There's a lady that's been on there for many, many years. And she come up with the saying, now that is just stinking cute. And I thought that was so sweet. I said it for so long. But 3 years ago, she lost her husband through a divorce. And she went on the YouTube. Her name is, KB Creations. She went on YouTube the 22nd of September. And she asked everybody to be in prayer for her son. Her son has been diagnosed with cancer, and he's a young man, and it's hurts. You know, we see her, or I do. If you watch YouTube, you see her, you know, on TV, and you get to know her because you see her all the time. Well, she don't know us, but it's just that she knows God. Hallelujah. And we believe in that faith that Brother Eddie just preached about. We don't have to know really the situation, and she don't have to know that we're praying. But she has asked us to, and I'm asking y'all as my church family for us to continue to pray for this young man. His name is Ray, and he does have several tumors already. But we know a God. Amen. That can move and heal those tumors. If y'all will, just call his name in prayer. I know she'll appreciate it, and I thank you because you're my family. I depend on y'all to pray for me, and so I know that you'll pray for someone that I'm asking. God bless you. It's KB Creation. Son's name is Ray.
Sister Linda. God bless you. Appreciate you coming tonight. Let's just all bow our heads and we'll pray. Prayer of dismissal. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your sweet spirit that we feel here tonight. God, for our visitors who came. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just be with them. Be with those who stand in need of prayer tonight. God, bless this sister that Linda was talking about. God, and I pray you to reach out to Ray's body. God, you know the situation. We don't have to know him. You know him. God, we know that you're a healer. God, we put our faith into action, and we call it done right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you can shrink tumors. We know that you can cause cancer to go into remission. And Father, we pray for the comfort of that family and for the healing of Brother Ray. God, we ask you to go with us now as we depart. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands with one another. Be friendly and we love one another, each and all. God bless you. Amen.